be able to do some things and think through some things. I recently read a book. The book was called Emotional Intelligence. And this book talks about our emotions and the importance of how our emotions work and how we need to understand them in order to make them function properly. There's something very interesting that happens with us. When something enters our brain, we have a sense of something, we touch something, whatever, that enters our brain and it goes to the front of our brain, which is the emotional part of our brain, before it goes to the rational part. And that tells us why our emotions are important. And the book Emotional Intelligence talks about relating our emotional and rational part of our brain. It's not a Christian book. I found it very interesting, though. He says this: the daily challenge of dealing effectively with emotions is critical to the human condition because our brains are hardwired to give emotions the upper hand. So the way God has made us, this is not something off the wall. This is the way God has made us, so that our emotions actually have a priority over our thinking. And we'll talk about that some more. Just a couple other things. The more intense your emotions are, the greater the likelihood they will dictate your actions. You do control the thoughts that follow an emotion. And you have a great deal of say in how you react to an emotion as long as you are aware of it. And that's basically what this book, Emotional Intelligence, is: your ability to recognize, understand emotions in yourself and others, and your ability to use this awareness to manage your behavior and relationships. Now, my message is not based on that book. I just found it interesting that I had just read that book when this whole thing of what I want to share with you this evening came into... Why am I not getting anything on the monitor here, Danny? I had it plugged in down there. Maybe it wasn't totally plugged in. Okay, I'll work with it. So we have to understand our emotions. And in order to understand them, we need to ask ourselves some questions. Not getting any action out of this either. Yeah, I think so. Oh, maybe not. There we go. I got it now. Okay. So, what are emotions? If you go look, you go to internet and start looking, you'll find out that emotions are very complicated. They start bringing in all the physical and the physiological and the psychological and all kinds of aspects to them. But basically, when we talk about emotions, we're talking about feelings, what we feel. Okay? Is that close enough, Chad? Chad's our resident psychologist, so anything to do with that, we'll ask him. So emotions, when we're talking about them this evening, we're basically talking about our feelings. Are emotions right or wrong? Emotions are what they are. It's what we feel. Now, remember the little thing I read there said that we have to learn how to understand our emotions and how to plug them into our thought process. Okay? So emotions in themselves are not right or wrong. In fact, yeah, we'll talk about this a little bit, in a little bit, where our emotions come from and all of that. Okay? So, can our emotions be trusted? Why not?
Yes.
Why?
I feel something. It's up to me how I react. Front brain, back brain.
Okay.
But if I react totally rationally all the time, there's an action and a reaction. But how things are said makes you feel different. And emotions, from, if you're talking human, a direction coming from someone who cares about the person he's talking to, feels a whole lot different. You take emotions out of it and say, hey, this is it.
Okay. Okay. Why are they wrong? Or why can't you depend on them, I mean? Trust them.
Sometimes we can be feeling or dealing with false assumptions.
Okay. Do our emotions give us false assumptions? Huh?
Sometimes.
Okay. If I feel sadness, what is there about feeling that sadness that's a false assumption?
So you can feel peace when there's real things.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good thoughts. Should we suppress emotion? Huh?
You can't.
You can't?
You can stop them, but they're going to come out in ways that you're going to pretend they didn't.
But that's what I'm talking about, is suppressing them. Can we suppress them?
For the moment.
Yeah, absolutely we can. Should we? Okay?
Huh?
Okay. Is controlling them a better word? Is it important for us to control our emotions? Okay. All right.
But that's your action, not your emotion.
That's okay. I've got you thinking, so this is good. Should emotion be a part of worship? There's a lot of stuff here. I realize, but there's a point in it all. And I chose this picture because I think this picture kind of represents our emotions a lot of times, right? They're just here and there and whatever, and you know, they don't seem like they fit together. They don't seem like they blend. We just have a hard time figuring out that whole thing of our emotions. So I want us to realize something. This is something we looked at here not too long ago. But I want us to just pay attention here. Our emotions are part of our soul. Our mind, will, and emotions make up our soul. I am a spirit, I possess a soul, I live in a body. We talked about this. So emotion, emotion is this part on this diagram, is this part of us that's part of our soul. It's part of us, what we possess. We are a spirit, we possess emotion. Okay? Now, God has emotions. How many of you are aware of that? We're made in His likeness. We have mind, will, and emotions. God has those as well. And He has given us His likeness in that area. Now, here's some emotions that God has. This is just a few of them. He laughs. He mourns. He hates. He loves. He rejoices. He feels pleased. He feels displeased. He feels anger. He's jealous. He feels compassion. He's grieved. All of these things are things that God has told us about Himself, that He feels. Do you think God ever needs to suppress His emotions? Do His emotions ever get Him in trouble? Okay, was that an emotion? Or was that a choice that He made? He felt emotion with that. He was angry. But was he doing that out of His anger? Or was He doing that as a part of His mind and His will? Sure.
Mm-hmm. Can you get depressed from it?
Sure. Yeah, when emotions take control, it can lead to a number of things in our lives. If the process goes into our emotional part of our brain, and that's what does everything without the rational part of our brain, then yeah, there's all kinds of problems come out of that. Sure. All right. But that we're not trying to do a big psychological study on the brain. I just want us to on emotions. I just want us to think about some of these things to help us to understand a little more what we're going to look at here. This is basically what I wanted to think about. It's something that's been on my mind for a while. When we talk about the Psalms are basically emotional expressions. If you are experiencing strong emotion, waves of emotion just rolling across you, you've been through something very traumatic. You've been through something very painful. You've been through something that hurt very bad. Any intensely emotional thing. If you will take the Psalms, and I don't care how you do it, develop a pattern so that you read through the Psalms once a month. And I've done this for months on end several times. It felt like my soul was too raw to be able to digest and eat meat, if you want to put it that way. And so I took the Psalms, and those are emotional expression. That's really sums up the Psalms. And those become like a balm, like a salve over your soul. And you begin to understand how David was a man after God's own heart. You begin to understand, you know, this whole thing of what our emotions do with us and how to work with them. Okay? So when you look at this, you start to realize something. David is expressing to God what he's feeling. Okay? He's running from Saul. He's hiding out there in the wilderness for months on end, living in caves and can't even show his face in the daylight. You know, running from here to there, and you know, Saul's in the same cave with him, and all this kind of stuff. There is a ton of emotion, even though David is the king to come, and he's an army man that has already slaughtered a number of enemies. But he's there and he's expressing his emotion. And day after day, he writes down what he is feeling. He's not hiding it. He's not trying to make it look good. He is writing down exactly what he's feeling. He's open with God about it. God knows it anyway, right? But somehow we have this thing that if we don't talk about it, it's better, right? But David didn't have that thing. We come from a background where emotion is suppressed. Anything to do with emotion is not to be trusted. It's not to be accepted. It's not to be a part of our lives in a general sense. Now, I may be overstating it just a little bit, but that tends to be where we live. I don't remember how many years ago Sherry and I went to a John Regeer session, Caring for the Heart, over at Fairhaven, 2-day session where he went through the material. And I came home from that and I told my wife, I said, this is something our people need. Because a lot of it had to do with our emotions and finding healing and listening to our emotions, expressing our emotions, and all of those kind of things. And I've become more and more convinced of that since that time. That we as a people do not understand our emotions. We treat them wrongly, and we reap a harvest from that that is not a good thing. And so that's kind of the backdrop of where I came through all of this. Now, we're going to go to Psalm 69 in just a little bit. But here's what I want us to look at as we go there. Now, I want us to notice, first of all, the intense emotion, nothing hidden. David is just laying it out, just what he feels. He's writing it down. And by the way, I've never been a journalist, one that kept a journal, but that's a good reason for journaling. I have found on occasion that when I write down what I'm feeling, it helps me to process that and come out in a good place. And that's kind of the idea behind journaling. So we want to notice the intense emotion. We want to watch for a changing perspective. We want to contrast the beginning of the psalm with the ending of the psalm. We want to see how aligning with God's program changes our emotions from pain to worship. And then we want to ask ourselves, how can I put this to use in my life? So let's go to Psalm 69. David says, "Save me, O God. The waters are coming over my head. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me." Sounds like a good Mennonite reading, right? I'd like to suggest something to you when you read the Psalms. Read it like it's written. So, if you're David and you're writing this, what would you say? "Save me, O God! The waters are coming over my head. I'm sinking in deep mire where there's no standing. I'm coming to deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. I've cried and cried and cried. There's no tears left. My throat is dry. It's raw because I've just cried so long and so hard. Mine eyes fail." You know? His eyes are just red and raw from all the tears while I wait on my God. Now, he's expressing what's going on inside of him. His emotions, what he's feeling. These are all things that he's feeling. He feels like he's overrun, like he's overflowed, like waters are, like he's, you know, he's under the water. He's below breathing area. He says, "God, those that hate me without a cause, they're more than the hairs of my head." Maybe that's not so much for me, but I think for David it was probably a pretty good amount. "God, they want to destroy me. They're my enemies wrongfully. I haven't done anything to them. They're mighty. I restored that which I took not away. God, I've bent over backwards with these people to try to restore this all. Oh God, you know my foolishness. My sins are not hid from you. God, you know all of it. It's not because I'm perfect, God. It's not because I haven't done anything wrong." That's not what he's, you know, he's expressing these emotions, but he's real enough in all of this to say, "God, it's not because I'm such a great guy that I should have this or I deserve this or whatever. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face." So he's saying, "God, please, I know that I have messed up. And please, God, don't let someone else not come to where they need to be because of what I've done." See, he's just laying it out there. You know? He's just telling God exactly what he's feeling. So, you know, when our emotions start turning, it's very easy for the enemy to bring lies into our mind. And one of the lies that he'll always, always, always try to bring to us is, this is your fault. And he always has a basis for it, right? Because he can point to something in every one of our lives where we've messed up. And David is saying, God, don't let this be true. That my faults have caused others to turn away from you. He goes on. He says, and by the way, shame, he says, shame has covered my face. I've had reproach, shame has covered my face. Jesus, in Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about him despising the shame. Shame is something that the enemy tries to use against us. If he can get us to live under shame, he has got us under control. We are not going to be a strong warrior for God. We are not going to do exploits. We are not going to be victorious. We are not going to accomplish anything worthwhile we're living under shame. God does not bring shame to us. Remember that. I can't find anywhere where God brings shame on our lives. David says, I'm become a stranger to my brothers, an alien unto my mother's children. And he gets prophetic here. We look at this next verse as a prophecy in relation to Christ. The zeal of your house has eaten me up. But he says, you know, the reproaches of them that reproach thee, you, are fallen on me. And that actually was true in David's life as well. It's true in Christ's life. It's true in David's life. And Jesus said it's going to be true in our lives. If they've hated me, they're going to hate you. So the reproaches come. Now, we have seen David here just taking his emotions and just laying them out before God. God, this is how I feel. Was what David was feeling, was it wrong? No. It was what was happening, right? It wasn't sinful. It wasn't wrong. It was what he was feeling. It was his emotions. Now, the important thing is, what is he going to do with them? How is he going to process them? What is going to happen? And that's what we start looking at here in verse 10. When I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that was to my reproach. I made sackcloth my garment. I became a proverb to them. Those that sit in a gate speak against me. I was in the song of drunkards. But you see something starting to change a little bit. What is David doing? What's changed? What do you sense here that's starting to change just a little bit? Okay, he's going back into the past. But he's also turning his focus toward God, isn't he? He said, I wept, I fasted, I'm praying, I was in sackcloth and ashes. I was coming before you, Lord. He was coming to that place, yeah, where he was going to cry, and that's what he says then. As for me, my prayer is to you, O Lord, in an acceptable time, O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire and let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. So he starts out, he's expressing all these emotions, the things that he's feeling, the things that are happening to him. And that's fine. That's always a good place for us to start. For us to say, no, I'm not angry. No, I'm not sad. No, I'm not. No, that's not a good place to start. The best place to start is to say, God, I'm angry. God, I'm hurt. God, I'm in pain. God, I'm struggling. God, this is what it feels like. It feels like I'm just sinking down into the mire. That's a good place to start, but don't stay there. Let's move from that to where we start to turn our focus from what is happening to us, what we're feeling. Start to turn that focus toward God. Who are you, God? What can you do to help me in this situation? And so David is starting through this process, okay? Don't let me sink. Let me be delivered. Don't let the water flood overflow me. Don't let the deep swallow me up. Let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. What else do you notice that's happening here in this part of the psalm? Who is David depending on to change the situation?
God.
He's not sitting there saying, God, I know that if I have enough strength, God, I know that if I do this right and this right and this right, this thing will change. No, he's saying, God, unless you work, nothing's going to happen. I know in my flesh there's dwelling no good thing. That was the way David looked at all of this. He knew, and you see him here, he's saying, God, you stop the waters. God, you stop me from sinking in the mire. God, you help me. And I have been amazed over and over and over in my own life. When I was struggling in an area, and I'd say, God, I need your help. Here's what's happening. I need your help, God. And you know, in 5 or 10 minutes, all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, where did it all go? It's gone. Maybe not always that quickly, but that's the process that happens, okay? Hear me, O Lord. Thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Hide not thy face from thy servant. I am in trouble. Hear me quickly. Draw near to my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. Now, what's he doing? What's David doing here? He's calling to God, but what is he doing in that? He's starting to change from the emotions, the raw emotion that he's feeling, He's starting to change, and you read through that again on your own and just notice how all of a sudden he starts just thinking about how great God is, how good God, you're merciful, God, you're loving, God, you're gracious, God, and he's, as he's praying to God, he's saying, it's because of who you are, God, that I'm crying to you. And it's because of who you are that I'm able to ask these things. You've known my reproach. You know my shame and my dishonor. My adversaries are all before you. God, you know all about this stuff. You have the ability to sort it out, to understand it, to see the big picture. Reproach has broken my heart. I'm full of heaviness. I'm looking for some to take pity, but there's none. For comforters, there's none. And again, this is prophetic here, talking about Christ. They gave me gall for my meat and my thirst. They gave me vinegar to drink. A number of these psalms are prophetic relating to Christ. Let their table become a snare before them. That which that should have been for their welfare, let it become a trap. Let their eyes be darkened, that they see not, and make their loins continually to shake. Pour out your indignation on them. Let your wrathful anger take hold of them. Let their habitation be desolate. Let none dwell in their tents. For they persecute him whom thou hast smitten, and they talk to the grief of those whom thou hast wounded. Add iniquity to their iniquity, and let them not come into thy righteousness. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living, and not be written with the righteous. So he's taking that emotion that he felt, and you see here it's a process. It's not something that just boom, bang, it's done. This is something David is working through. So he starts out, he expresses to God his emotion, he recognizes God to help this, but then he comes back and he's kind of working out of his emotion and saying, God, do this to these people. This would be awesome, God, if you could just take care of this whole thing this way. But he doesn't stop there. You see, that's where we get in trouble. We express our emotion. We allow that emotion to continue to fester and stir. We talk to God a bit and see who God is, but then that emotion rises back up and we start blasting away at what should be done to clear this situation. But David goes on from there. And he says, I'm poor and sorrowful. Let thy salvation, O God, set me up on high. So he shifts after he's expressed himself. God, this is how I feel. It would just be awesome if you would do this, God. This is how I feel. But he turns back to God and says, God, you're God and I'm not. And that's okay. I'm good with that. It's only in you, God, that I have hope. I will praise the name of God with a song. I'll magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock. He's talking about sacrifices. The humble shall see this and be glad, and your heart shall live that seek God. If you take these last verses here in the chapter, and you set them beside what he's written so far, you see something totally shifted. The Lord heareth the poor. despises not his prisoners. Let the heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves therein. For God will save Zion. He will build the cities of Judah that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inhabit it, and they that love his name shall dwell forever. If you took the last verses of this chapter and you put them beside the first verses of this chapter, and you didn't know that it was from the Bible, and you didn't know that David had written it, and you didn't know that it was from the same chapter, what would you think? Total disconnect, right? Two different writers. This is not, there's no way this could be the same guy writing both of these. But what I want us to see, and this, I just use this psalm for an example. Some of the psalms, David gets wilder than this. God, I'm not going to go into all that because of the kids that are here, but he gets pretty violent. But this is something that the Lord showed me about this whole thing of emotion. Is how David writes these psalms. He starts by expressing his emotion. He's not hiding it. He's not covering it over. He's not trying to make it look good. He's not trying to dress it up to take it to church. He's just telling it how it is, how he feels. And then he takes that and he starts to pray. He does some fasting. He does some seeking of God. It brings back the emotion to him and he responds to it. But then he turns to worship. And psalm after psalm after psalm follows this pattern. So that tells me that there's something that David understood about emotions that's important for us to understand as well. What was one of David's nicknames? The sweet psalmist of Israel, or the sweet singer of Israel. Now, how could he be the sweet singer of Israel and express the emotions that he expressed? See, if you're a good German, you take those emotions and you push them aside because they're going to stop you from getting where you want to go. You need to depend on your thinker. It'll get you there. It's a lie that we've swallowed, and it's cost us tremendously. There are so many people that are suffering, that are struggling. They don't know how to express their emotions. They don't know how to deal with their emotions because they've been taught from little up that emotions are something that you cannot trust, that you must suppress, that you can't deal with, that you can't use. You have to use your mind. Why do you think that God made our brain so that it first deals with the emotion and then deals with the rational? Why didn't he make our brain so it went right directly to our rational and our emotion was just off on the side? What Dana shared this morning about the connection with people that have faced similar situations, it's not a rational connection. It's an emotional connection. We know that they know how it feels. And they know that we know how it feels. That's emotion. We have the same emotion, and it draws us together. And I think it's important for us, because what David was actually doing was, he was coming into agreement with God's emotions. You see, God felt emotions in this whole thing as well. Do you know that? When God looks at you and me, and He sees what we're going through, does it create any feeling in God? How do you know that? But how do you know that it creates feeling in Him? He tells us in Hebrews, we have an high priest that's touched with the feelings of our infirmities. The feeling. God has feelings toward us and for us. Okay? Problem again, Danny. There we go. I did a little diagram to illustrate this. And I put at the bottom the first part of the Lord's Prayer, which we talked about here not too long ago. So the purple star represents God's emotions. The yellow star represents my emotions. So this is where we start. My emotions are raw. They're out here in front. They're what I'm seeing. They're what I'm thinking about. They're what I'm feeling. And so, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You notice something? Something's starting to shift, right? Our emotions are changing because we're coming in connection with the Father. Then we pray, thy kingdom come. And all of a sudden, God's emotions take priority over our own. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when we come to that place where we can pray that, suddenly God's emotions are the priority. And our emotions are simply a shadow of God's emotion. And I see that happening with David. David is expressing his grief, is expressing his pain, he's expressing his sorrow. But as he comes to God and brings those emotions to God, his emotions shift and change. And they come into agreement with God and His emotion. And out of that comes worship. Worship. And here's why I think, I'm more convinced all the time, that if we do not worship with emotion, we are not in agreement, in full agreement with God. Maybe your emotions are expressed differently than others. I'm not saying you have to do everything like everybody else does. But if we are not worshiping with our emotions, we are not worshiping well. You see, it starts with us being able and willing to express our raw emotions. Until we come to that place where we are going to be honest before God and say, God, this is how I feel in this situation, it's going to be very difficult for us to come to the place where God's emotions are shadowing our emotions. Ours will always be in the forefront if we don't learn to handle them properly. And that's where we get into a ton of trouble. We say our emotions aren't controlling us, but if we're stuffing them, they are controlling us. It might not be apparent, but it is happening. So I found this so interesting as I looked at David and all that he writes and all that he goes through and how he takes his emotions and brings them before God and finds a release and to think, how many of you would have expected, if you wouldn't have known, if you'd just come across this writing somewhere, you wouldn't know it's the Bible, you wouldn't know it's David, and you read those first verses of this chapter, and then you'd read the last verses, how many of you would think that it was a man that had gone from point A to point B in a fairly short amount of time? You'd say it's not possible. It can't happen. It's not going to happen. But it did happen. And it will happen. So the question is, how can I put this to use? And I say it like this. We start by just simply being real with God. God, this is what I'm feeling. And this is what I'd like to see happen, God. God is, you know what? If that's what you're thinking down in your heart, God knew it already. You're not hiding it from Him by not saying it. This is what I'd like to see happen, God. And now we get down to, God, you're God, and I'm not. And I'm ready to let my emotion hide behind yours, and I want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Let's stand together for prayer. If you have some more questions or thoughts or something you want to talk about, I'd be glad to talk with you afterwards. Thank you, Father, for your wonderful love. We thank you that you have made us emotional beings. Lord, we don't understand all of that. We don't understand how our emotions all work and how our thought processes all work and all of that. But God, we do know that you are good and that you are right and that your emotions are proper emotions. Help us, Lord, to be angry where you are angry. Help us to be gentle and kind and compassionate where you're kind and compassionate. Help us, Lord, to be disgusted with what you're disgusted with and happy over what you're happy with. And sad, Lord, over those things that make you sad. Help us to bring our emotions into agreement, into alignment with you. And Lord, we just want to worship because you're worthy. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.